during the Franco-Prussian War near Paris, there was a soldier wounded who lay out on the battlefield with many other wounded soldiers. And as he remained there for some time, he gave testimony that although each man was groaning because of the pain of his wounds, yet even those groans gave way to one pain which was superior to any other, and it was the agony of their cries, "Water, I am thirsty." The fifth word of Jesus from the cross is that word which reflects upon His physical suffering. It was indeed intense. We may recall the succession of events of the last 24 hours and that they had taken their toll upon the physical well-being of Christ. It was excruciating pain to be crucified. And yet we ought not ourselves to be morbidly curious about His pain. We can obscure the gospel if we are. And yet we also ought to recognize the benefit of reflecting upon His sheer physical agony for us. The Moravian missionaries to the Eskimos understood it. When, after they had been working with the Eskimos for some time and receiving no response to the gospel, they found that when they began to preach the physical suffering of Christ, great tears rolled down the Eskimos' cheeks. Ours is an age of sensationalism. We have a gospel which is made for TV. And so we ought to be wary of anything that over-sensationalizes the gospel of Christ. Rather, we ought, with the sanity of the gospel writers, simply report the facts of His suffering. And yet, having said that and having done that, we ought also to focus on this one main purpose of the suffering of Christ, and that is His vicarious substitutionary atonement. That is that what He was doing for you and for you and for you. It was substitutionary. He was taking your place. His physical suffering, His spiritual suffering, His cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was taking your place. Vicarious atonement, substitutionary. That is what we want to reflect upon as we come to the table of the Lord this morning. We remember that Jesus' blood was shed. We remember that His body was broken, and yet we remember it because it was done for me, for you. But there is a secondary lesson to be gained from the fifth word which Jesus spoke, and it is this: we ought to endure patiently the suffering which we sometimes face in life. Ours is a culture which has a great intolerance for any kind of pain. Our indulgence of our flesh has so made any tolerance of pain objectionable. We affirm with the TV commercial several years ago, when you've got your health, you've got just about everything. You don't, you know. In fact, you've got very little, if that's all you've got. But we worship the youthful body, spend time making our bodies neat and pretty and attractive or strong, when in fact we would profit more if we knew how to suffer more graciously, how to grow old with more dignity, how to accept the limitations which our illnesses and our suffering naturally bring upon us. There are at least four things that you can do with pain and handling it profitably. C.S. Lewis said when he was writing his book entitled Pain, "If only my tooth would stop hurting, I could write another chapter about pain." I feel somewhat hypocritical this morning because I'm not hurting anywhere. And yet I'm going to share with you one great thing that you can do with your pain. There are at least four options for dealing with pain. The first is that you can simply fall apart and say, "I can't take it anymore." The second is that you can pretend it isn't there, like the TM, the Transcendental Meditationist, the yoga folk, or the Christian Scientist. Or you can take the option of the stoical approach, just to grit your teeth and bear it and hope one day it'll be over. Or you can take the Christian approach. And that is to use your suffering, your adversity, in order to grow closer to God. Today we live in an age which is hysterical over physical healing. I believe what God really wants His people to pray when they are afflicted: first ask Him if He wants you to be healed. But what he can teach you, Christian, and what you can learn in the midst of your suffering and your adversity. We've had some great men in our church who have suffered greatly. There has been men, have been men such as John Calvin, who had 60 diseases in his body at one time. And Charles Spurgeon, who suffered tremendously from gout and who missed 3-4 months out of his pulpit every year because of his affliction. Spurgeon said he believed that it's good for God sometimes to take the knife and to drive it into us and to turn it so that we remember that we are but flesh and that we are totally dependent upon God. There was a man such as Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, I don't want to get into politics, and it doesn't matter what you think about Roosevelt. I want to tell you, you have to admire the courage of that man for his contribution as a human being. And then there is a girl over in Atlanta. Her name was Carol McAdams. She had multiple sclerosis. She was a member of the church I pastored when I was a graduate student over there. She was so stricken, finally, at 26. I was 26 at the time. I would visit her. Her body was all gnarled and her hands were all gnarled. She had no control over her eyes. She couldn't see. They just jerked from place to place. She couldn't walk. She could only speak in a broken way. Do you know what she did? She wrote poetry. Wow. I sent one of her poems to the Presbyterian Journal about a month before she died, and they published it on the front page. When I got the notice, I took it to her to tell her. But she had already gone into a coma. I'll never forget the suffering of that saint. Today I can hear her screams down the corridor of Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, the last time she went into the hospital. But I want to tell you, she added a dignity to suffering that we, with our little kinks and headaches and pains, never approach. But there's another dimension to the suffering of Christ besides the physical, and we ought to say before we take communion what that was. I believe even though He suffered physically and greatly, His most intense suffering was that spiritual suffering. There we may see Him looking down upon Jerusalem, weeping at the tomb of Lazarus, being betrayed by the kiss of one of His own disciples, the desertion, the arrest, the trial, everything. He suffered physically, but He also suffered spiritually. And by the fifth word, when He says, "I thirst," it is as if God gives to Jesus rest. There is a rising crescendo until the fourth word when Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then it is as if the peak has been passed. And now it is physical suffering. Now time for rest. Now time for comfort. And God gave Him spiritual comfort. But in verse 29, it says that a man, a soldier, took a sponge. When Jesus cried out, and this is a lesson for you and me, when He cried out, "I thirst," He took a hyssop and He held it up to the lips of Jesus so that He could quench His thirst. Christian, don't you envy that soldier? Just think of it. The opportunity to minister to the Son of God Himself. But let me tell you that Jesus does give to you and to me an opportunity to minister. He says, "I was thirsty and ye gave me drink." And those whom He brought into judgment replied to Him, "Lord, when did we see thee thirsty and gave thee drink?" Jesus said to them, "In that ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." I invite you, Christian, to hear the voice of our Lord crying, "I thirst." I invite you to hear the voice of our Lord crying, "I thirst," in Mexico, where 84% of the people are in the darkness of a false religion. I invite you to hear the words of Christ, "I thirst," in Italy, where there is not an evangelical congregation as a witness for Christ. I invite you to hear the words of Christ, "I thirst," in North Africa, where there is only one missionary for every 500,000 people. Where in some countries there is not even a church. I invite you to hear the voice of Christ, "I thirst." Among the Sea Island people, those blacks, descendants of slaves right off the coast of Georgia, South Carolina, who don't even have the gospel in their own language. You and I can take the sponge of service and hold it, as it were, to the lips of Christ. Will you? Will you? Will you? Let's pray.